Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Hi there, thanks again for listening this week. We really do appreciate it. We've got our regular slot, Truth You Can Trust, which is straightforward Bible readings. I think the Bible is so important. I hope that's something that you find helpful. We've also got the second in our series, A Lawyer's Case for Christianity. Really interesting. Now, this is a long book in the Bible, but we're going to pick out key slots from it. And I hope you find it really helpful as to why a person should consider Christianity. And then we've got an interesting tale slot, which is about the Titanic. It's the number one of a series, but we hope, again, you find it not only interesting, but challenging about these big issues in life. So let's move on to our first piece. Welcome to Truth You Can Trust. This is direct quotations from the Bible. I hope they comfort you. I hope they encourage you. Maybe they would challenge you. It says in Psalm 104, verse 1, God, you are very great. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says, these are the words of God himself. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 in the Bible, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, in the Bible it says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Those who have the Son have life. Those who do not have the Son of God do not have life. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In Deuteronomy 33, 27, these are the words, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God said, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So says Isaiah in chapter 41, verse 10. This is truth that you can trust. These are direct Bible quotations. If you're a Christian, you can rest upon them. If you're not saved, maybe you don't believe this is the word of God, but it is. It lives and it will abide forever. Well, here we are in the second installment of A Lawyer's Case for Christianity, and we're in Romans chapter 1. We're not going to read all the verses, but we're dealing with verses 6 to 12. It starts off like this. Among whom are you also, the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, shall I say, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. This is a personal letter to a church in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. We thought on the initial installment of this series, The Lawyer's Case for Christianity, we thought about the core concepts of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's writing to Christians in Rome and he says some lovely things. He says they're loved by God. I don't know if you're a Christian or not. If you are, well, if you're not, everyone is loved by God. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says God commends his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But there is a special sense in which Christians are loved by God, that in his family they are his children. They've come in to enjoy his love and his goodness. So he's writing to these Christians and he calls them beloved of God. He says they're saints. Now, maybe you think a saint is someone who's died and they've been canonized a long time after, but the Bible actually says every Christian is a saint. That means they're special, they're set apart, they've been made different by God's grace. And he sends them his greetings. He says, I want you to have the grace of God and the peace of God. And that's a wonderful thing. Christians know the grace of God. That means they enjoy things they would never have enjoyed if they hadn't come to know God. They're blessed. They have peace with God. They have all the animosity and fear and aggravation and terror of dying without any hope is all gone. They've got peace with God. They know the grace of God. And then he talks about their faith being spoken of throughout the whole world. What he's saying is that people were talking about them. Now, maybe you don't like people talking about you, but this isn't a good sense. They had a great testimony. People knew that these guys were genuine. They knew that they were real followers of Jesus. They weren't hypocrites. They weren't at it. They weren't saying one thing, doing another. They were genuine followers of Jesus Christ. So he says their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Their lives are changed. If you become a Christian, God will change your life, but for the better. There'll be evidence in your life that you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's quite happy for his words to be tested. He says, God is my witness. And he says, I serve God with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Now he says, one of the things I do for you is I pray for you regularly. That's a great thing that Christians do. They pray for each other. They pray for you as well, by the way. I've prayed for you before I started this recording. I pray that God would bless you. Pray that you would hear the voice of God. Pray it might have an impact upon your life. And he wants to get to them, and he wants to enjoy their company, and he wants to encourage them and them to encourage him, and he wants to share and enjoy the faith that they have in the Lord Jesus. Do you have anything like that? This lawyer was once against Jesus and against God, but God arrested him, God spoke to him, God changed his life, and he now enjoys fully everything that God has on offer for Christians. You can as well, if you come and trust him. Hi, thanks for listening to this. This is the first in a short series of what I'm calling Interesting Tales. And it's about Titanic, so this is the first, and it's called John Harper's Last Journey. The 10th of April in 1912, John Harper, who was a well-known Scottish minister at the time, Scottish Baptist minister, he left Scotland and travelled down to Southampton to board RMS Titanic. He was en route to the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. Little did he know, as his fellow passengers were unaware as well, that 1,500 souls were to die 400 miles off the coast of Canada on the 15th of April, 1912. Many were not ready. Many had failed to make decisions in life that would set their course for the right place in eternity. Kind of poses the question that I really have to be honest with you and say today, what about you? It is all right to have great philosophical arguments and discussions and explanations to rationalise everything and to do away with God from your consciousness in life, but what if it were the last day that you spent in this world? Where would you be 5 minutes after you die, as the statement is often made? Well, John Harper was ready to die. He was a Christian. He'd become a Christian many years before. He hadn't had an easy life. His wife had died. He was a widower. He had a little girl. And that day he was to make a big decision on that great liner. He was to put his little daughter into a lifeboat in the care of somebody else. And he was to go back to seek out souls that would, no doubt, many of them die that day in the icy cold waters of the North Atlantic. But John knew that to live without Christ is possible, to die without Christ is also possible, but it's tragic. It's tragic to live without Jesus Christ as your saviour, but to die without Christ seals your fate. What do I mean, die without Christ? Die without Jesus Christ in your life, whether a relationship with him, without having come to God through Jesus, prayed and asked God to forgive your sins, admitted you're wrong, that you've broken the law of God, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into the world, died for your sin upon a cross, rose from the dead to demonstrate that he is the Son of God. I know those things are very difficult things to grasp if it's the first time you've ever heard them. Believe you me, the Bible is the only book that makes ultimate sense. It explains why we die, explains us why there's evil in the world, it tells us what the source of that evil is, it shows us why the heart of man is so corrupted, and it points us to God's solution, Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless man, Jesus, the Son of God. I use those two terms together because God's Son became a man, born of a virgin girl, fulfilling ancient predictions in the Bible, and he came into the world to save sinners. John Harper believed that stuff. You know, as the ship began to sink, many thought only of themselves. By But John Harper, he thought of others. That's a hallmark of Christianity. And shame on us, those of us that are Christians, that don't think about others, that are selfish and inward-looking. But John, as I say, placed his daughter in the care of another, put her on a lifeboat, and he set off to reach dying souls. He knew it was a pretty strong possibility he would never see his daughter again, that he would die in the process. When eventually he landed in the icy waters himself, he spotted a fellow traveller clinging to a piece of wood, and he shouts out, "Are you saved?" The answer came back, "No." He shouts, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The only advice the Bible gives to dying souls, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They drift apart, and I don't know whether at that stage or later on, but they come back together, and I don't, as I say, I don't know whether it was at that stage or later that John gave the man his life jacket. And this man, John shouts to him at least one more time, "Are you saved?" And he shouts, "No." And John eventually is sucked under that water and he dies. But, well, he goes to heaven, the Bible says, because he trusted Jesus Christ. Not because he was good, but because he trusted the one who made him good. This other man, he survived. He ended up in Canada. And he told his story that he became a Christian when in the icy waters of the North Atlantic, he heard a man shouting out, "Are you saved?" And when he said no, he realised that this man loved him even though he'd never met him before. And this man cried, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." And he trusted Jesus. He asked him to forgive his sins. That wasn't just to get him out of the water, for he lived to show the genuineness of that faith. He lived for the rest of his life a Christian following Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd trust him. I wonder if you'd be ready to meet him. If you never trust Jesus, then the Bible says he will be your judge one day. But if you recognise that you're a sinner, you've done wrong, that before a holy God, the Creator, you're guilty, and you need someone to represent you, you need someone to clear your guilt, you need a saviour, you turn to the Lord Jesus today and ask him to forgive your sins. The Bible says he will. And it will be the best thing you ever do. You've been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.